The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome back to the Magnet here in Stockport for March's edition of the EvoStick NPL show. And around the table, we're here one last time to jinx FC United's title chances. And to join me in this jinxing process, we've got Swampy from FCM Radio and Five Live.
Good evening.
From Curzon Ashton, we've got John Flanagan.
Evening.
From BBC Radio Manchester, we've got Ian Burke.
Hiya, Ben.
From the Mirror, we've got Aaron Flanagan.
Hello.
And from the NPL Facebook group sponsored by EvoStick, we've got James Hayes.
Hello.
Right then, gentlemen. Oh, he said he wanted us to chip in. And Nev, the guy who does the onions at Curzon Ashton. So,
literally chip in.
Yeah. Gentlemen, round the table. Is it all FC United is now done and dusted? John Flanagan, will come to you first because you've got... You played them on Monday.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. I was a bit disappointed, to be honest, John.
In what?
Well, you came in a nice suit and I congratulated you on how smart you
looked.
Somebody's got to keep the standards up, haven't they? Then you went for trackies, though, for the 90 minutes.
You've got to do.
Have you?
Yeah, it's about football and it's not about... It's not a fashion show, is it? You know.
Clearly, they've never done any
more. But what do you reckon? You drew 1-0 and...
Well, I think FC are going to have to get a lot wrong to not win it now. I mean, everybody's got to keep winning and they've got to trip up seriously. I think, you know, based on that game, I thought they were a bit disappointing, to be honest with you. And I think I give us a bit of credit for that because of the way we set up. We knew, really, we were very disappointed last time we played when we got beat 4-0 when we felt that we played reasonably well for a portion of the game at least. And I think it was a result that really sort of hurt us and sort of knocked us back a little bit. So we were very determined to give a better performance and certainly get a better result out of it. So I know our mate over here, Swampy, I think he described it as scrappy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think he called it scrappy. I think that was more a case of because maybe they didn't play well and we contributed in a large way to stopping them playing and getting pressure on the ball and so I think it'd been the other way around. If they'd have put our performance on, it wouldn't have looked as scrappy. I think it's just the way it is when you're a supporter of one particular team.
And what did you make? Obviously scrappy, but you said at the weekend that was going to be the toughest game FC had in the running. No offence, Workington, those are the words of Swampy.
Quite clearly, and I think in all fairness, John got it right. FC winning 4-0 a month or so ago was a flattering result, in all fairness. They took the chances on the day and did very, very well, but it was quite an even contest. And I said that Curzon that night would have been very disappointed going in at half time, actually not thinking they should have been winning the game, but they weren't. It was a roles reversed. But certainly on Monday, a huge game. I mean, over 3,000 fans at the ground, which is actually superb. And I think Curzon really got the tactics right. They did very well. I thought they played. They made sure that they narrowed the game. They made sure FC United couldn't get the width out. I think I said to you at the end of the game, I thought you got the tactics perfectly right. You knew exactly what players to mark in a certain way. I thought was it your number seven who. I don't know whether he does man marking jobs week in week out, but I certainly thought Daniel Shaw against FC United's centre forward was absolutely outstanding. I mean, he didn't give him a sniff all through the game. So I thought personally you got your tactics right, and I think you probably would have been disappointed not to win the game. Yeah, some very good chances. FC had some good chances as well, but you had two clear cut chances. One that obviously was an open goal. It didn't happen, but I think it was a good game. You approached the game in the same way as FC United approached the game, but I think you came out on the day slightly more victorious, even though you didn't get all 3 points. You'll be disappointed with that. I think Carl was a lot happier.
So. Get on with it.
Birke.
Going back.
Oh, sorry.
Well, going back to your original question.
Thanks.
Just start at this bit, then.
About FC United. FC United should win the league. There's no question about it. We're in a very good position. I know, again, talking to several managers at a new build games a couple of weeks ago, And the reality is that they're looking at second, third, fourth and fifth, which, because a team that's so far ahead at the time, and also with games in hand, you've got to look, right, okay, where are we going to finish in this division, realistically, rather than thinking we've still got a chance of winning the league.
We'll come to the playoff picture shortly, but Berkey's been flapping his arms around like Pingu. What would you like to add to this conversation?
History is littered with teams who have thought they've had the title won only to have it taken off them at the last minute. You look at Hearts in 1986 up in Scotland, Newcastle under Kevin Keegan, United a couple of years ago when City picked them to it. FC United look like they've got it won, but they haven't yet. You've still got four games to play and you've got to win them. You know, you've got 9 points to win five games. I'll go back. You've got five games. You've got five games to play. You need 9 points to sew things up. Ashton United aren't going to give up. I'll let you know that. They've got an easier run in than you as well. You've got Workington on the last day of the season. You've got Witten coming up, who are going to be scrapping for their lives against relegation. They win that game against you next week, they're safe.
But equally, Ashton United have got to play Barwell on Saturday, and we know Barwell themselves are a tough team to go and beat at home. You know, so they've got Barwell, they've got Ramsbottom, they've got Whitby, they've got Witten, they've got Rushall. They're not easy games for Aston United. No team have got an easy game. The running's never easy. And regardless of what you say, I mean, who cares about Hearts or Manchester United or indeed Newcastle United? They're not playing in semi-professional Northern Premier football. You know, the important thing is this division, the players that are playing in this division, the teams that are playing in this division, I guess about 1986 and 1995 and the likes.
Don't forget history swapping. Aaron, comes to bite you on the bum.
Aaron, you're a keen follow of history, judging by your T-shirt. what do you reckon? Because you were at the match as well on Monday. Is it FC's?
Yeah, I think so. I think, me personally, I thought FC had it wrapped up almost 2 months ago. That was the mindset I think a lot of people were in. And I think if they were going to stutter, they would have stuttered by now. I thought maybe when they drew against Stamford, it might have, you know, sent, you know, a few results spiraling. But
it was a game, in fairness, FC could have lost, and they didn't, in fairness. Stamford had the better chance of the day,
and
they could have got 3 points, in fairness. FC scraped a draw out of that, which, again, I'll let you carry on, but, you know, it's a very vital.
You've got to play him again, Swampy, as well.
James?
Hello.
Go on, what's your thoughts?
I said it last week, I think it is FC's to lose now. I can't see FC blowing it at this point in the season. The fight is for second place. Who's going to get the home advantage in the playoffs? Again, it's impossible to see it. I've said it week in, week out, and I've been for the last five seasons saying FC United need a break. They proved me wrong.
Well, this is the break we need.
Exactly.
Yeah. Does anyone think FC's not going to win it?
Yeah.
Apart from you, Ben. Of course you can, John.
I think the key thing for me has been going to Stamford and potentially looking like they could lose the game but still getting something. They could have lost the game on Monday and they got something, and that's normally a real pointer for me, when you should have probably lost games and you don't for one reason or another, sometimes out of your control. And if you think about them, they picked up points there where they could have dropped. And it would have been slightly different, but, you know, if they'd have lost those games, it would have given everybody a bit more enthusiasm. But they've done this great run of not been beaten 20-odd games. It's a fantastic achievement, really, really good. Best thing they've done all season is just not conceded. The goals against, far better than any other season. You know?
I think you're dead right there, John. I think the one thing is, you look at football teams, and the teams in the top five at the moment are all good footballing teams.
Well, let's go to the top five then. So we've got there Ilkeston, Ashton United, Workington, who certainly are still in with a chance of league title, outside chance. Then there's Curzon, Ashton.
Ashton are. Ashton United are. The rest aren't.
Oh, you're throwing Ashton United in as the main contenders?
Yeah, they are. Officially.
Yeah. Well, while he does that, Ashton, let me interject, because yes. What I want to give you is some stats here. Because Curzon, with five games remaining, their potential points total is 87 points. Ilkeston, potentially with three games remaining, 89 points. Workington, four games remaining, potentially 90 points. And Ashton United, potentially with five games remaining, can finish with 93 points. FC United, currently on 85 points and with five games to go, can afford to draw and win against Stamford and win the league on 94 points. So I think what everyone's saying is it's a good running. I think it's between, you know, the four behind, the chasing pack. We've not put, in fairness, Blythe in there, who are really on the cusp of doing something. Perhaps,
let me ask the guy with a horse in the race, John. Now, for the last 2 months, it's been known that you've been using this podcast as motivation. And look what's happened. You're in the playoffs. Now, can you stay there now that we're being complimentary towards your team?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we've been there all the way through, haven't we? You know, and fair play to our group of lads. You know, they've stuck in there. We had a wobble at Christmas, and then we've had a great run recently. Not conceding many goals at all. Just had a blip on Saturday to Nantwich. But, you know, look, at the end of the day, if we don't get in there, we'll still have had a good season. We'll be very, very disappointed if we don't get in there, because I think we're as good as any of the teams in there. You know, I think we can compete in there, and I think if we get up, we'll give another good account of ourselves. We'll strengthen, we'll just push on again. And so I really do think that, I know there's Blythe, who are on our heels for 3 points, so we can't afford to slip up without them slipping up. We've got to match their results at least, haven't we? And if that happens all the way through to the end of the season, we'll get in there. And if we get into that, then we've got a really good chance.
Berke?
One thing we shouldn't forget about Curzon is that this is their first ever season at Step 3. And what a brilliant debut season it's been as well.
Absolutely.
It should have. And if you look at actually the games that they've got to come, those five, Kingslin, who don't travel well at all, Marine away. Now Marine were fine for their lives, and they're in a really great great form at this moment in time, so that will be a really tough one.
I don't think anyone wants to play Marine at the moment.
Rami themselves, they're in 18th spot, safe this season more than likely. Hales Owen at home again, and then Frickley away at the end of the season, and we'll probably have a toss of a coin at the end of the season. The league will probably say, well, they're safe anyway, as they have done for the last 3 or 4 years, so they'll be playing for nothing anyway.
Are we sure? We're sure Ilkeston and Ashton United are working in the playoffs. Curzon, for your sake, we're going to say you're in. But if Curzon do get caught, we've got Blythe Spartans. And another one I'd just like to throw in the mix as well. Barwell. Did anyone see Barwell coming, apart from Swamper and this guy here, James Hayes? Go on.
I think I said it last week as well about Barwell. I think it's a bit too late for them to get in there. But Blythe, again, listen to me and prove me wrong week in, week out. They've gone from no hope is after two really, really strange draws in the last month. Away at Ramsbottom, and then again I think he's got a 3-3 away at Frickley in the last couple of days. So again, they start to slip away, but they're starting to grind the results out. They've not lost the last 5 or 6 now. So
what I'd say, James, with them, for me, Blythe, they have got some goals in them.
Oh yeah.
But I think they've had three alls in the last sort of 5 or 6 weeks. But they're conceding, and that's always a bad sign. They're always open to conceding goals, and I can only think, with all the travelling they have to do, they'll continue to do that.
I mean,
the feeling is it'll catch up with them.
Yeah, I think it has done.
I went to the Ramsbottom game, and they scored two right at the death, and Rami,
two scrappy goals.
But Rami didn't defend well for the two goals. But you know, they just got out of jail, and
if you're conceding 3 goals against teams much lower down the league than you, if you do get into the playoffs, it don't bode well at all.
Can I just ask this, John? I mean, I don't know whether this is right or wrong, but the information I got in front of me, that on Tuesday the 14th, Curzon play away at Marine, and then on the Thursday, you play Ramsbottom at home, so you've got two games.
Four games in a week.
Two games, just, you know.
This is because of Ramsbottom, though, isn't it? With the fixture catch-up.
Do you think that... Is that going to be detrimental, do you think? Or because, I mean, you know what to expect of Marine now, because they're fighting for their lives. They really want to. They've never been relegated out of the Northern Premier Division, or in fact any division they've been in ever.
Save it for relegation round in a second.
I'm looking at that now, thinking, you know, so well this season, you know, to be where you are coming last season.
It's a make or break week, isn't it? Those four games are going to make or break our season. You know, if we get majority of wins, we pick up a high number of points, and good chances are, because the other teams at the top group of sort of 6 clubs predominantly playing each other, there's still some games to play amongst themselves. There's got to be some more points dropped, so we can, there is a bit of a gap between I think it's Ashton and ourselves, or about four or five points, six points. You know,
if something catastrophic happens to a number of clubs, then Buxton and Skelmersdale United are still with a shout. Anyone? they're the laughter of the contributors to this show, not
sorry,
me.
Alex.
Just a special mention to Skelmersdale United. They've been up at the top for a long time. We've been saying over numerous shows that it's only a matter of time before they get swallowed up by everyone else. Another season where they've been caught and dropped out.
I think the situation this year is hard to ignore what's happened there. I mean, obviously, the chairman pulling the money halfway through the season. If they were in a situation it would have been, they'd have been challenging FC, I reckon.
We did say on the Evo Stick Extra last week that, you know, Skelmersdale United, second season at this tier, and both seasons they've made an impact, so...
They certainly have. I mean, you know, I've watched them play for a number of seasons now, and they're a good footballing team, always played the vast majority of the time in the right manner, and you know, they've got to be, it must be infuriating to be a Skem fan, in all fairness, to be at the top for two seasons predominantly for such a length of time, and then just see your team fade away as they have, which is going to be unfortunate. But I say, whoever wins the league deserves to win the league, so it's all about, you know, the impetus and continuing and being able to continue. This year, I know financially they've had problems. Yeah. Last season, they didn't have those problems, did they? In all fairness. And they fell away again. So, you know, there's something to be said about it. They're going to have to look about the end of the season. FC United, notorious, always have to think about the beginning of the season. Make no bones about it. If FC United had the start that they should have had without the eight draws, we wouldn't even be talking here now. FC would be champions already.
You're wrong. Ashton United, they won one in the first nine. If they'd have won six of them, you'd be out. They'd be out of sight by now.
Are you being paid by Ashton tonight? Are you on contract?
It's a legitimate point of view.
I'm not saying it's not. Aaron, you've got another legitimate point of view.
You know, it's more of a question on what this puts. What's happened with Skem's money for next season? I know, obviously the guys disappeared, but people haven't really looked in advance. Is Skem going to be the next team who kind of does kind of tumble down a little bit?
This is a good chance to go to someone with his non-league ear to the ground, and we welcome Stuart James to this discussion. Skelmersdale, what do you reckon then?
To say the least.
Just looking for a phone charger. I just want to charge my phone up.
Okay.
That's why it's been a bit like.
Any other thoughts?
What an introduction that was.
Thanks for that. Anyway, that's a perfect chance to end part one of the Evo Stick MPL show for this month. You got anything to add, Berkey?
No, mate, I'm fine.
Good.
History in action, apparently.
We're going to a commercial break now, and when we come back, we're going to be discussing all things relegation. So from everyone here at the Magnet, we'll see you in a minute.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like. From Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
Welcome back to the Magnets here in Stockport for March's edition of the Evo Stick NPL show. I'm Ben, and round the table we're joined by the great and good of the Northern Premier League, and for those teams just above who are going to join us next year, we've got Swampy from FCM Radio.
Yeah, get it out of the way.
We've got John Flanagan for Cousin Ashton. We've got Ian Burke from BBC Radio Manchester.
Yeah, and hi.
We've got Aaron Flanagan from the Trinity Mirror Group.
Hello.
We've got James Hayes from the MPL Facebook Group. Hello. And we've got, now with his phone being charged.
But we've got no internet.
It's Stuart James from the Non-League Review. Now then, it's time to turn our eyes to the bottom end of the table, and commiserations to both Belper Town and Trafford.
Oh.
Thank you, that was pitiful, to be honest.
I'm looking forward to going to Shoreview next year, let's put it that way.
Any final thoughts, because we're not going to mention them again? John Flanagan.
I just want to say what a bad decision it was for Ali Trafford to sack Rooney. A lad there's put in a lot of time, a lot of years, done a good job with a very limited budget, played the right way, and, you know, if they'd have kept him, they'd have probably stayed up.
I don't think they would have stayed up, John.
Yeah, I think they
would.
It's a miracle, because I mean, tell you now, if they'd have stayed, they'd have kept Shelton Payne, they'd have kept Rory Fallon, right? They'd have kept them together. Naya would have stayed there. They'd have held it together. and they would have but they would have got out of there.
Weren't they heading that way anyway?
They were already in the relegation zone.
We said it earlier on a couple of podcasts ago that even with Shelton Payne in the team topping the goal scoring charts,
they were still rooted
to the bottom of the table.
They've
not picked up many points since he has left.
That constitutes a bad decision, doesn't it?
I think we still talked about this show.
So you're agreeing with me?
I still think they've got that.
I think personally, looking at the Trafford situation, watching them as I have done on a few occasions this season, not only when they played FC United but other teams as well, Vorney has one style of football, and that's attacking, positive thinking football. For me, they were dead and buried a long time ago, even before he left the football club. I'm not saying it was the right decision to let him go, because they might have been able to do something. I think it was a little bit too much for him. I've spoke to him a lot of times since, and he's a very, very nice guy, and in a lot of ways the pressure on him being where they were at the time seems to be a lot of relief now there. He's let someone else take over the mantle. Hopefully they could do something for next season. I think they were down anyway, in all fairness. I don't think they would have stayed up. And he only had one form of football for me. It was actually, sometimes you have to win ugly. And Curzon, FC United, the teams at the top all know how to do that. They can mix it around with other teams. And for me, watching Trafford, it was gung-ho. And the last time I saw them play, there was four players playing for the manager and the rest of the team didn't care. And you could see that. And I think it was probably the right time for him to go and the right time for Trafford to maybe move on next season in a lower division, regroup, do something new. There's a lot of talk about what's going to happen next season with them. And it'll be very, very interesting. But I think for Vorney and for the club, it was the right thing, to be honest.
Apart from the three that went to FC United, a couple of others, there's a lot of kids in that team as well. Just young lads who haven't got the experience there.
Six of the 17s played last week in the first team. There's three players that I think are still contracted. The rest of the team are just youngsters that they're blooding for next season, and perhaps we'll see what happens.
Exactly. But I do think one day Vorney will go back. One day, I can see it.
Yeah, but the other thing is, I mean, that wouldn't have happened if Vorney would have stayed. His team would have probably stayed together to some degree. And what happens is, at the back end of a season, your fixtures change because people start dropping out of contention. And there's a big group of teams in the middle of the division that are vulnerable to scrappy results. And they would have started picking points up because they can play football. They would have started picking points up, and all right, the pattern was a downward one, I understand that, but I think they still had enough about them to play a certain way and get enough points to get out of there.
Hey, that's a perfect segue into the next team I'd like to talk about, who have changed last minute, and it has worked out for them, it would appear, is Marine, dead and buried for a long, long time, now back in it. How did that happen?
Well, last season they finished 20th, I think everyone forgets that. Some people expecting them to be challenging for the title this year. I suppose I was one of them, but it didn't quite go to plan. Carl McCauley, for whatever reason, it didn't work. I saw him against Curzon first game of the season, and they looked all at sea, to be honest. Curzon should have won by 2-3 goals.
It was all the coaches, isn't it, near enough?
It was at home at Curzon, but it just didn't nick for some reason. They've got Tom Pearson, who's just Taking it by the scruff of the neck. Only a young lad. He was on loan at Hensford earlier in the season as well. Did really well in the Conference North. So, and I think they're going to stay up at Frickley's expense. I really, really do. Although that's not the only thing. They could be not kingmakers, but they could be princemakers, because they've got to play against Curzon and they've got to play against Blythe.
Just to mention about those other teams, because up until about last week, I think it was, you could make a case for everyone up to 14th being involved in this relegation battle, upwards to Kings Lynn. Simo said from the Northwich Guardian that 50 points was going to be the watermark. Do we reckon 50 points is going to be good enough to stay up?
It usually is.
Yeah.
But isn't this year? Look what Frickley's on at the moment. 45.
I think they won't pick up many more.
No. I mean, Marina were two.
Sorry, can I just do that noise without anyone talking?
the team out of the bottom grouping, the one that you have to be very, very fearful for, and it isn't necessarily Frickley, because Frickley have always, for some reason, have managed to stay up, whatever they do. Who at some stage is going to have to test himself somewhere else, because he's too good not to. I'm not saying he will, but he should do. As a footballer, you need to test yourself.
And if he was going to do it, he would have done it by now.
But we know everyone in the top five would have had him. No question about it. The teams above the divisions would have had him. But he for me, I can't see the point in being, it's down to personal preference, but being in a relegation battle every single year. The team I fear for this season is Stamford. I think Stamford could be the team that drop out even further. And I think Stamford will replace Marine and Frickley, and Stamford will get relegated.
They should have beat you, though.
Yes.
Just a disclaimer, at this moment in time, there are four teams getting relegated, so you've got to be fearful for two teams, Swampen.
Well, Telford and Belford are down.
Telford?
Did I say Telford?
Yeah.
Telford are down, but a different division, completely. Yes. Actually, very good point, Ben. Thank well you. Made. Or maybe not.
James Hayes, you've got a point.
Yeah, obviously Alan Alcott couldn't make it tonight. He's too busy down in somewhere else. But I've been told to mention that, obviously, there is a potential reprieve spot available.
Dave Watt has mentioned it on the non-league show.
He mentioned it as well, where obviously...
Well, it's a given, isn't it? Frickley are going to get saved. It always happens.
It all comes down to...
There'll be three rather than four going down.
It all depends, because it's us against the Ryman League as well at the moment, as it stands. You're looking at teams with over a point a game average at the moment. What divisions does that ever happen? You're looking at a really, really strong relegation fight here. Not just in our league, but in the Ryman as well. And you've got two teams of potential that can't do anything about it.
I mean, that's it, isn't it? I mean, Marine, Frickley, Stamford, Witton, Ramsbottom, Matlock, Nantwich, Whitby.
No, Nantwich, I think,
have all won recently and are capable of winning. If they win a match, you wouldn't be surprised at this moment in time. Where's it going to end, Burke? Where's it going to end?
On April the 26th.
That's the correct answer.
25th, sorry.
So it's not. Does anyone want to nail the course to the mast on this one?
I just want to put it out there. About, I think it will have been the January edition, I said Stamford were going down when they were about mid-table, and you all laughed at me.
I didn't laugh at
you. I'm a professional. I don't laugh at anyone.
Every single month.
You do.
Regardless of what you say.
You do, but I'm.
For your striking resemblance to
Prime Minister.
I just want to mention as well.
Just
want to blow my own trumpet for a minute.
Anything else? Anyone else going to throw a name out there?
Is it
between them three? Is everyone else above that all right?
Witton and Albion, they've still got to pick something up.
They've got their toughest running as well.
That's the thing. It's a rotten running for them. They've got to play FC United.
They played Stamford last game of the season as well. That could be telling the final game.
Is that the last game of the season?
Witton v Stamford.
Wow.
I think I'm going to nail my course to the match. Whoever wins that stays up. Whoever loses it will go down out of them two.
What if they drop?
Subject to the AGM Cup.
Whoever's going into it. Before the game, we'll stay up.
But an exact yes, John.
Can I just add there? I mean, if you're going to pull Witten into there, you've got to look at Ramy as well, because they've, no disrespect, I would say, if I were to look at both the sides presently, I'd say Witten are the stronger side. And all right, Ramy, I've got games, but there's no gimmies, and it's a tough division. Wherever they go, and they have done really, really well. I've got to say, they've gone to places where I thought it's a tough one for you there. Like Stourbridge, and they've got a win, you know. So credit to them, they've done really well. But I honestly think they may get sucked into it. I can't help but see that there is not a load of wins in there for them.
I think they will get sucked into it, Ramsbottom. But the reason I mentioned Witten rather than them is Witten's three games is FC at home and then away to Ashton and Blyth or Workington. So three real tough games. Three real tough games before the crunchy side against Stamford.
I mean, Witten have got to play FC United on Saturday. Then they go to on the 21st. They go to Ashton. They played at home against Ashton. So Ashton play Witten at home on the 21st.
And then they go to Blackpool.
Then you've also got the likes of Ashton have to play Ramsbottom, and Curzon play Ramsbottom. So again, I think out of the two teams, I don't think any of those two teams are going to be going down this season. I think the team that will go down is Stamford, Trafford, and the team that's already relegated. Well, the two teams relegated in Trafford and in Belper, and I think the third place will go to Stamford. Unfortunately, sorry, Stampy, we'll still drink your beer.
What about the fourth place?
Because I think there's going to be a reprieve, and that reprieve
you can't
will,
have that.
The reprieve will be that fourth spot because the Northern Premier League, and in fairness, shirts, is very, very strong. It's a strong, strong division. Compared to the Ryman.
By the way, I'd like to see the one with the worst pitch go down.
And that would be Stamford, I believe.
No?
No, you're not having that?
No, I'd take Stamford. I think that'd be alright with a bit of
bit of water.
A bit of development, a bit of water.
Even the playoffs, yeah.
Maybe. Frickley. It's not the best.
So you tell me you don't like going to them Tuesday nights in the middle of December.
They don't have to. It's only us who have to do that.
Oh yeah, it's only FC has ever done that, hasn't it? Yeah.
Anyway,
point.
So I done bad.
Just to say,
enjoy it, Vic.
A special mention.
Yeah, get used to it, brother.
Just to say, a special mention to Belper Town. We've been saying a while that once they do get relegated, the pressure will be off, and that's proved the case. Yeah. The pressure is off, and they've started playing a bit.
Of course it is. I mean, when you are relegated, that's it. You know, you're going to play some football, enjoy yourself. It was the first time I've been to Belper. Fantastic place, really great hospitality, and you know, they'll all be the. It'll be a great relief at the end of the season. They'll be all the better for it, for the experience of being in the Northern Premier Division. They I think most teams that come from a southern perspective into the Northern Prem just realise how difficult it is. I truly believe, and I've said this, and I've said it week one thing, month out, that the Northern Premier Division is the toughest division to be in. And getting out of it is so, so tough, so difficult.
And we should say on that note, congratulations to Hales Owen Town and Stourbridge for fitting in quite nicely in Division 1 South. Yeah. Anything else to add? Good. Before we go, thank you to John Flanagan, and thank you to Nev, the onion guy at Curzon Ashton. Much appreciated for joining us. And
I'll stick now.
The onion guy.
Did you
admit that? Yeah, what? Why
are you
onion guy?
I said, what do you do? And he said, I put the onions on the hot dogs.
Oh, right.
That is the end of part two of this month's Evo Stick NPL show. Coming up next is our special look at First Division South with Robin Gray, our Division 1 South correspondent. But when we come back, we will be discussing the prospect that is promotion from Division 1 North.
So, for perspective now on Division 1 South, there's only one place we can turn to, folks, and that's to our resident Division 1 South expert, all the way from Not FM. It's Robin Gray. Hello, Robin, you okay?
Yeah, good, thanks, Ben. Are you?
I'm not so bad. I should say, disclaimer, you're the Kids Grove press guy at the moment.
Yeah, although some people say I probably watch other teams in this division more.
Fair enough. But in your previous life, there's only one place we can start to, really. And that is the news of Norton United. And what on earth has happened?
Gosh, you might need three EvoStick podcasts to discuss this.
In a nutshell.
To underline the key events, it all started off that when you look at 2014, it was a wonderful year for Norton United. Mm-hmm. They started off in getting a promotion from the Northwest Counties Premier Division, and then they ended up making a wonderful start to life in the EvoStick League, and then had a wonderful FA Cup run where they ended up playing Gateshead in the end.
Indeed, and that's the thing. You look at the progression that's been made this last year, and for it all to end in this way with them resigning from the league, it's such a shame, isn't it?
Well, Ben, let me just put this in perspective. It is the 6-month anniversary today of that game against Gateshead, so that's a story in itself. And obviously, we won't get into the politics of it, but it seems that there was a personal jibe with some people at the club. So Norton United didn't feel they could carry on playing at Community Drive, and for that reason, they've ended up having to look for a ground share, and they secured that with Newcastle Town until the end of the season.
Yep.
They've also been on the hunt for a more permanent one next to carry on. The deadline to get that ground share agreement was the 31st of March with the league, so it became quite obvious on the Tuesday nothing was put in place. Nothing was sustainable, as they've put in their statement today, yep, which I can agree with. And they've ended up not being able to get a ground, so therefore they were going to have to resign for the league. And it seems that altogether they've decided they're not going to build from scratch, which you've seen some clubs do, and that they're going to fall, which is very sad.
Are you surprised that they're not going to restart? Obviously, Hereford United folded recently, and they're about to relaunch again. And there's countless examples from Telford to Chester. Is there no appetite for this?
I'm not surprised, no, because I think that when you look at what they had to do in terms of getting a new ground and things like that, I don't think that they could recover from that in some ways, because it was so obvious that it was going to take such an unsustainable method.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at their statement today, which I just got in front of me here, the club were asked by the trustees of the welfare to pay a rent of £250 for each home game. And there's 30 home games this year, next season, that would equate to approximately 20 grand. Now, some clubs can pay that in this division. Norton have just come up. Now, if they want to, they could also go and ground share maybe with Newcastle Town or a team like that, which they have tried to do.
Yeah.
But again, the price might be even more. I don't know the figures exact, but it could be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think somebody said to me today, when you haven't got a ground in non-league football, you've got a problem. Yeah. And I think that the main thing is, Ben, the likes of Scott Dunn as the manager, Dennis Vick as the club secretary, who I've got great admiration for. He's put his heart and soul into that football club. The same goes for Steve Beaumont, the former chairman, and Neil Dundas. And even the likes of, you know, John Cotton as well, who's recently left. But these are all people that clubbed together to get this club to where they are now. And it's such a shame that it's ended like this. And I'm not surprised, actually. I thought they could try and see out, but you know what? They put so much passion into it that to build it from scratch again, it's just it would be painful in some ways.
Well, it's very sad. It is very sad and tragic in many ways as well, and goes to show you the difficulty of trying to run a football club at this level. But good luck to everyone involved in Norton United for the future. But moving on, let's try and cheer ourselves up.
Yeah.
A moment or two. And let's head to the top of the table, because Norton United are 10th, funnily enough. They've had a very good season. Let's go up towards the top end of Division 1 South. Michelover Sports, they've got it in the bag now, do you think?
I think so. I think Leek Town have got a couple of results recently, but I don't think they're going to catch them now. I mean, well, you never know, do you? I think, you know, they obviously lost to Newcastle Town. If Leek had won that, that would have made it a bit more tasty, because they probably could have caught them. But
they only need a win, don't they? Or a couple of wins, a win and a draw or something silly, don't they?
Yeah. Out of their last games, they need 4 points. Yeah. So you'd expect them to get that. But at the same time, if Leek win all their games, Leek can do their best, can't they? They can try and win all their games and just see where it takes them.
So that leaves us with the playoff picture. And it's a given, really, that Leek and Newcastle Town are in the playoffs, would we say? I think that's...
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that, isn't it? Because I said Stafford wouldn't get in, and I still don't think they will.
But they're there, aren't they?
Well, this is it. They're seventh. They're sort of catching up. But it's Gresley, who have got two games in hand.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been performing well recently, Gresley, but they've been getting results. I think they were 2-0 down to Carlton Town and ended up drawing 2-2. And I was told it was a really abysmal game from then. So I think Gresley will still do it. I'm surprised Sutton Coldfield Town have dropped already, but you know, these things do amaze you in non-league football, don't they? You can never predict what's around the corner.
It's a bit of a Skelmersdale situation, though, wasn't it? Because they came right out of the blocks with matches played and were out in front for a while, and then just got caught up, didn't they? And
well, this is the problem. That's the same with. I mean, this happened with Leek last season. You know, where they've played so well, Leek Town, that if you think they've actually kept their games, they didn't have such a congested fixture list. Then they probably have a better chance of going up, but now they've looked tired in the last few games, and you know, that's maybe their pitch has come to haunt them again. But you know, Sporting have just been a breath of fresh air to this division this year, and they've rose and they've rose and they've rose. The season's gone on, and I think it's a real testament to their side. A great win at Kidsgrove for them in a game which I must admit they could easily have lost with my Kidsgrove hat on, but in serious terms, that you know, they basically had a couple of breakaways and scored one of their chances, and when you do that in this division, that's what gets you the points, and I'm sure we'll come on to the bottom end of the table, and that's what's obviously the problem for some teams there at the moment.
So out of the four teams vying for those remaining two playoff spots, what's your gut telling you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Michelover, Leek and Newcastle have got it. I think it might stay how it is.
Respond,
and I just think, you know, Gresley have got two games in hand. It's in their hands now. It'd be a mess if they threw that away.
Have Stafford got the bit between the teeth, though?
They've got a great manager, and they've got some experience in their side, but they're not consistent enough. And you just know that if they've got a home game to come, that the team parks a bus against them. They find it very difficult, and the manager's admitted this, they find it very difficult to break teams like that down. 9 home draws this season. Yes, they've only lost one, which is superb, but 9 home draws. And they do say it's better to draw a game than lose it at home, which is true, but you think if they turn some of them draws into wins, that, I mean, they could be nearer a leak than anything, really.
Down the bottom end, then, we've got, Brigtown. And we've got a cracking race on for that second remaining relegation spot. Obviously, we'll have to take into consideration Norton United and what's going to happen there. But at this moment in time, it looks like a two-horse race between Rainworth, Miners Welfare and your beloved Kingsgrove Athletic. Assuming there is no AGM Cup, which is very unlikely, Kingsgrove and Rainworth, who's going to finish second from bottom?
Well, like you say, we have to take into consideration the Norton thing. And I tell you what, if Kingsgrove finish 21st again and stay up, it would just be remarkable. Kingsgrove have got the game in hand. And it's very important that they win that. But like I say, they've got to go to Rainworth and Market Drayton. Now, Market Drayton got a good win against Norton, albeit Norton fielding a very weakened team with a lot of their players on a stag do. But it's
welcome to non-league.
Yeah, there you go. But listen, I think Kingsgrove have got that was a huge point for them at Romulus. But I tell you what, they should have had all three. They threw that one away, and I think Norton, not Norton. I think Kingsgrove will stay up in the end because Pete Ward, and I know I'm obviously being very loyal to my club here. But listen, Pete Ward has been has saved them before Kingsgrove, and He knows non-league. No one knows non-league better than him, put it that way.
Just before you go, we're asking a question at the moment on the show. We're about to ask a question. Who do you think has overachieved and underachieved this season in Division 1 South?
Well, I think overachieved's got to be Sporting, hasn't it? They've, like I said, they've been a breath of fresh air.
What about Tividale? We've not mentioned them in ages.
Well, exactly. Tividale again. They've sort of, I mean, some would say Naughty United as well. I think that those three could all be, said that they've done well. In terms of underachieved, I suppose Stocksbridge, they'll be disappointed. I thought Market Drayton might do a bit better this season, but maybe that's being a bit harsh. And maybe Sheffield, you know, they're the sort of side that you want to see get up, given their history and obviously, you know-how and being the oldest club there are. And I just think that maybe they'll be a little bit disappointed. The thing that's fascinated me about this league this season is all the top teams can seem to pick points off each other. You know, the top five can pick points off the top the 5th to 10th as such. But it's those teams like Carlton and Stocksbridge and sort of Loughborough and Gore, that they are the sort of teams, and Kingsgrove even winning at Micklover. It's bizarre, really, how the teams like that have sort of grinded out results against these bigger sides. And it's making it more like a professional league of football, which, I don't mean that in a derogatory way at all, but it's becoming more of a professional league in the way that where teams are sort of thinking more tactically, I think, against each other.
Well, Robin Gray, thank you for joining us on this month's Evo Stick MPL show. Just to let you know, we're going to do a post-regular season special at the end of this month, and you're more than welcome to come back on for that one.
Brilliant. I'd love to, Ben. Thanks.
Robin. And thanks for joining us, and good luck wherever you're going this weekend and for the next few games.
Welcome back to the Magnets here in Stockport for March's edition of the Evo Stick MPL show. A show which many are calling the second last Evo Stick MPL show of the season. Round the table, we've got the great... Mate, we might do a playoff special. And we might do an end-of-season special.
Yeah,
this is the third
final show. If you exclude all the live specials that we've got planned towards the end of the season, and the extras, of course.
Have we ever done a live special?
A possible
special
playoff final.
Yeah, we did the Doosan last year.
And the Doosan final.
So one in a year.
Has that been confirmed yet?
All these that we got planned.
We've all one in a year.
I've just said that. I've just said that. Do we know where the final is yet for the Doosan final? And James turns around. No, we're still waiting. No, we're still waiting. We're just trying to confirm it now. Alan Alcock's number two. We're still waiting.
Who's in the final of it?
We don't know yet.
Well, time of and then, as we speak, Fazio won up at Rami.
So there you go. But anyway, round the table, you know who's round the table. If you don't know who's round the table, go back to the start of the show and listen to my original introduction.
Plus two, James.
The most important person at this moment of time is you, dear listener. And for more from you, dear listener, it's now time to hand over to James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group for this month's correspondence.
No music.
Hello, I don't for screwed.
Benny on music or something.
I think Benny music on as well.
Anyway, so tonight's question was, who's been the biggest surprise this season, and who's underperformed over all three divisions?
I think Swampy's had a mixed bag this year.
Yes.
Mixed bag.
So there's a beer, by the way, that's being served in the Magnet this evening called the Gobby One. And it's the home beer. It's a beer that's been produced here, and it's a vegan beer. And I'm just wondering,
well,
I wonder who they name that after.
Well, you connect. Do you want to connect the dots, or shall I? Anyway, go on, James.
So, starting with Lloyd Berry, Warrington fan. Overachievers in Division One North were Harrogate, just considering how small a squad they've had, even after losing Cartman. And then underperformers, Warrington or Lancaster City. Matt Hill, who's a Farsley fan, who reckons they've been the big underachievers, showed their own against the big teams, but can't do that, but have dropped a massively like a stone since Christmas. Jonathan Wood from Scarborough, underachievers in the north again at Ossett Town, considering John Reid's pedigree as a manager. Rob Lloyd, in this from Hales Owen, credit has to be given to Tividale. Everyone thought they'd be mid-table, but they're pushing for the playoffs at the moment. Underachievers Hales Owen themselves. We've also got Darren Mellett and Mosley Farm. They must be the biggest overachievers in the history of overachievement. Steve Sharman saying Stafford have been the underachievers there. Thought they'd be up there with challenging Micklover and Leek in the south. Lincoln as well being the overachievers, considering the good season they've had, especially last year, being second bottom of the table. And then finally one from Mr. Stewart saying that Radcliffe have massively underachieved after such a great start.
Beth, can I just say, before you go on to the next bit,
yes,
the person you interviewed just then, I agree 100% with what they said.
Oh, yes.
I thought it was an outstanding
was the only the only Premier Great Division points. Fan was from Hales Owen, who said yes. Hales Owen have underachieved.
They must have high expectations there, because I think they've done well.
I think it's been a good year for the other 23 clubs then. It's all gone to form, it would appear.
Hales starting slow. I mean, they could have been up there if they didn't have that slow start.
Hales Owen, the vast majority of us that around this table from the Premier Division have been there and enjoyed good hospitality, friendly fans, decent atmosphere, and I think next season they're going to be right up there. I think some strong teams for next season, there's no question about it.
I think for me, Marine have been the big underachievers and overachievers. I think there's a decent shout for Barber. I'd say you could say overachievers, but I think that they've actually been there all season. They've always been in the top half.
They were expected to be at the start of the campaign, is what I'm saying.
They're another Division One south side who've really done
people
well.
People that did, I mean, we've played Barwell about 7 million times this season, and we could never
beat.
We're beating the first
time.
It's just that they always seem confident in themselves, and they've got a good squad. I don't know whether overachievers the right word for them. They've done well, but I don't know whether I don't think overachievers are right.
Underachievers in the Evo Stick Premier for me this season are Kingsland.
That's a good shout.
Huge underachievers this season. Fan base, big club, just not performed.
Thank you to Robin Gray. Remember him? He did Division One South for us, and very points. Informative it was too.
Absolutely,
was,
absolutely.
Yeah. I've learned a lot.
It was indeed, and the one downside for me at this moment in time, I said. that I thought Leek and Stafford this season would be the two contenders.
That's right.
Right at the top there. Leek are there third. They've had two horrendously bad results at home and away. The last two games, they're still thereabouts. They'll make the playoffs, and I would have thought out the playoffs they are equipped to go up in that respect. But Michalova, well done, 91 points.
Did they win it this weekend, Michalova? Did they win it?
I think they can. There are 91 points.
There
are 91 points. They need to score 93, 94 maximum, and then that's it, the league over. So this weekend, or a win and a draw, they've won the league.
Okay.
I'm astounded Sutton Coldfield haven't done better.
Thank you for that. Right, so Division 1 North. Division 1 North. And, well, it's awfully tight at the top. Salford City currently lead the way on 86 points. 3 points behind is Darlington, but with a game in hand. What on earth is going to happen with the Division 1 North title? Aaron, Burke, Stuart James, you've all got looks on your faces.
It's going down to the wire.
Warrington.
Ching, ching. No, that's going to the last game of the season, so there's going to have to be an helicopter on standby because the level of points.
For casualties.
Yeah. Darlington fans are going to go mental.
Well, New Mills. Well,
this is a great opportunity for Alan Alcott to hire that helicopter with the trophy in.
Yeah, definitely, because
perfect opportunity.
I think Darlington, although the slight favourites at the moment with the game in hand, I reckon they're going to lose one, possibly draw another. They've got to play Warrington, which I think is going to be a big game, and Mosley, who is dying to get in the playoffs. Them two are going to be the tough games. I can see him getting 1 point out of them two.
I watched Darlington at Northwich last week, and the one thing that stood out for me about Darlington is that, all right, they were only one goal up for, I think they went 1-0 up about 15 minutes in. They dominated that game. I know it only finished 1-0, but they never, ever looked like they were going to concede. And Northwich are a bloody good side.
And
they're a very good side, very effective with big shots. They never look phased. And they look like they've got that mentality, which, you know, they're not going to drop off.
Something good for Darlington is a lot of fans were saying that they play long ball, they're missing Cartman out, they brought Cartman in to score goals and stuff like that, and he's not the tallest of lads, so they're playing this long ball. He started scoring in the last couple of games. He's found his scoring boots that he had. That could be pivotal in the title race.
The one thing, Darlington fans won't actually disagree with what we're saying here, because Darlington fans themselves, en masse, every time I've seen them, they played Radcliffe early in the season, the fans were booing them.
2-2,
you drew that. They also were booing the fan. They were booing the team at New Mills. The fans aren't happy with the style of football. I'm not saying the manager got it wrong, because basically, if they get promoted, they've done the job. The fans should be very thankful for the manager to get them promoted, if they get promoted. But they play a style of football that Darlington fans themselves are not happy with.
I'm very wary that Aaron's only got a couple more minutes with us, and I'd just like to get his point of view on Mosley. We're going to cover the playoffs now. Salford and Darlington is going to go down to Warrington, it would appear. Sorry, the Wire, it would appear. And that leaves everyone else to battle it out for the playoffs. And it has to be said, Mosley and Warrington Town, a great run up the table. But Mosley, what do you reckon, Aaron?
I'm totally amazed that they've gone on this run, and, you know, full credit to them. You know, I believe they're another one who maybe don't play the most attractive football, but they've got quality lads in there. You know, they've got some very good players. I think, along with everyone, expected them to stop. And obviously, being a Curzon fan, knowing that we've got to play them in a cup final soon, we were hoping that they would have stopped by now, but they haven't. They're defying the odds, and, you know, you've got to give them full credit for that.
Mosley, the guy who's the rat catcher for Greater Manchester City Council, who's a Mosley fan, he said this season has been absolutely wonderful to watch. Some really good football. It's a hard place to go. Anyone that goes there finds it a tough place to be. Well, they're all getting up the hill. The oldest chip shop in the world. The oldest chip shop in the world.
I am crediting with that fact.
He anyway, was on Five Live, I remember last time.
The playoff places are more or less a given at the moment. We've got either Darlington or Salford, Northwich, Victoria, Bamber Bridge and Spennymoor all in those places at the moment. That, whoever, if it remains that top five, that's a hell of a playoffs, isn't it?
You'd be hard pressed to, you know, say who's going to win that. Northwich, Vicks, and the manager that they've got has got the experience. Mm-hmm. knows playoffs. He's played in them. He's also managing them. He's an international. He's going to have a little bit of something about him, I would have thought. For me, Bamber Bridge, tremendous that they're up there this season. If Spennymoor stay where they are, again, really good for them to do what they've done. And the top two, as we say, you know, Salford versus Darlington. Well, Salford have been up there to be shot at all season, in all fairness. And I'm going to be a bit biased here, Ben, because you're from Salford. Is that how you pronounce it?
Salford.
Salford.
It's not the BBC, Salford.
Salford. Salford. Yeah. My family are from Salford as well. I'd like Salford to win it. I know they made a change early in the season and they lost Phil Power and Dave Chadwick, and I was very upset with that. But I think Salford have played some very good football this season, and for me, they're the team that will win the league.
The last thought on all of this, one last thought each. Starting off with James, last thought.
Jono's going wants to win the league.
That's, right.
There's nothing about that.
He's, no way.
Breaking news.
No.
Jono wants to win the league. He's got
that
the league.
A quote? Yeah. Is that a quote?
Yeah. Yeah, he's obviously we.
You're after, not misquoting him there, are you?
No, no. After a resounding 2-0 victory against Ratcliffe in the 98 Bus Derby this Monday gone, he's geared up to winning the league. He's not looking at the playoffs. He's not even thinking about the playoffs. He wants Salford to win the division. Yeah.
Last thoughts from Aaron. Last thought on anything.
Are you going to win the election or what?
Are you doing election coverage for the Mirror? Is that what you're doing?
No.
You can't have Cameron interviewing Cameron.
I dressed as the Mirror Chicken and chased David Cameron.
Whoa. You did what?
Was that you?
Have you not?
Yeah, was that you?
Bjorn Borg t-shirt.
Yeah. You seriously were dressed as a chicken and chased David Cameron? Or
yeah, there's black pictures on Twitter.
Well, he's got the watch after
a beer. Are you clocked, Prime Minister? Did you say that?
Did you lay an egg?
No, he drove straight past, but it was me in the suit.
Amuse the Christmas Do, 1998, Fred the Red.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
What? I dressed up in 1987 as Frank Sidebottom and walked from Stockport to Hazel Grove for a charity do and signed everyone autographs going, oh, fantastic, thank you very much, actually. And a pig on my nose, paper mache head, everything on, fantastic, that was brilliant. But I was never Fred the Red.
Just before you go, Aaron is leaving us, probably to go watch the team.
He's going to Bernard Matthews next week, dressed as a turkey.
Thank you, Aaron, for joining us. I know you're a busy man at the Mirror.
I appreciate, you know, the nice comments that I'm getting from you and nobody else.
They get into journalism, they're dressed as chickens.
Aaron Flanagan, everyone.
Well done, Flanagan.
Brilliant, Aaron. We are Aaron.
That's if we are doing
he
that.
He feels like chicken tonight. Chicken tonight, Aaron.
So. Last thoughts to you, Birker.
My last thoughts on Division 1 North.
Here we go.
That the bottom two will stay the bottom two, but yes, with a little bit of luck, New Mills will get a reprieve.
Stu.
Final thoughts. The title race is going to go down to the last day.
Yeah.
Playoffs is going to be good. Whoever doesn't make it, it's going to be a fascinating playoff. Ramsbottom versus Bamber Bridge last year's playoff final was an absolute cracker, was one of the best. This year could top it, depending on...
And just to say, we'll be back later this month.
I've not finished yet, Ben.
Sorry.
And moving on to the bottom, at the relegation battle, I'd love New Mills to stay up. And I think it might have to be with a reprieve if we're to get one.
In fairness, though, Prescott can still go down at the moment. Yeah. And they're struggling a little bit as well, so you never know.
One thing about New Mills is, you've not heard anyone say, and for good reason, that, oh, right, Sewell's done a bad job. Because everyone can see he's doing a good job with absolutely zero resources there.
You look at that entire bottom five, bottom six, there's no resources there at the moment. I mean, we're rattling for building for next year at the moment. Hopefully we stay up.
But you've had 12 players up till January or something silly. Anyway, just to say, we'll be back towards the end of this month with a Who Won It and Playoff Special.
Yes.
And then that will be the penultimate show. Then we'll be back the following week for a that's how it turned out. Special.
The ultimate show.
Oh, you never expected that, did you?
Anyway, thank you for joining us this month on the EvoStick MPL show, and thank you to you, dear listener, for joining us, and thank you to Swamper from 5 Live and SCM Radio.
Thank you very much, good evening.
Thank you to Stuart James from the Non-League Review.
Thank you and good evening.
Thank you to Ian Burke from Radio Manchester.
Cheers, Ben, thank you.
Thank you to James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, which you can get involved with at
facebook.com/groups/the MPL or on Twitter at the MPL group. And Louise Band, you are a traitor.
Wow. Mrs. Bandy, what's she done?
I'll show you in a minute.
And thank you to Aaron Flanagan.
Cheers, lads, right. Thank you.
Cheers.
And thank you.
Conservative.
Thank you to John Flanagan as well and his friends.
Hold on, John Flanagan. Cracky Penfold. Cracky DM. Rules.
And thank you to his friend Nev, who does the onions at Curzon Ashton.
Do you want any mustard with that, lads?
And that is the end of this month's show. Thanks for joining us.
Remember, remember
you can follow this show at NPL Show, and we'll be back next week with an Evo Stick Extra.
Yes, we will.
Goodbye, everyone. Ta-ra. Thank you. Well played, everyone. Well played. Good effort.
Evo Stick NPL Show was brought to you in association with Evo Stick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.